Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. So glad to be with you today, and we do pray that God's Word will find a hiding place deep within your heart today, that it will bring enlightenment, and it'll also bring encouragement. Because we are living in a world, I think Dottie Rambo, that great gospel singer who's with the Lord now, wrote the lyrics to a song many, many years ago. Some of you may remember the name of the song or one of the lyrics in the song was, "This world needs some good news bad." And I believe today that like never before, the world about us needs something to give them hope. This sin-darkened world needs hope. Hope is the glad anticipation of future good. And our God is called the God of hope and the God of all comfort. Praise God. I am so absolutely thrilled to know Him in times like these. So if you're not a Christian today, as we gather around the Word of God, I pray that you will stay tuned. If you've been listening to the Good Gospel programming right here on WMAF, and you have doubts or you have concerns or you have a genuine interest in why these songs of hope and these songs of faith were written. Are they meaningless? Are they just some kind of religious panacea that we try to use to cope with the realities of life? Or is it genuine? Is it authentic? Is there a hope that death can't cancel? Can God take a shattered life that has been broken in so many pieces and bring something wonderful and beautiful right here and right now? This begins before we go to heaven. This begins before Jesus comes. Coming to Christ today can change your now and your eternity. Well, having said that, we're getting ready to go to God's Word. We're going to be reading a verse of Scripture in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. But before we do, we want to invite you to come to our website. If you would like to, we have many sermons, over 1,300 that span 40 years as senior pastor of this church that I have pastored here in Tampa. We also have recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus. That's some of our most popular downloads. They're in 30-minute context, and they are teachings that follow a sequence so that if you are interested in a subject, it won't just be try to condense it into one broadcast, but several broadcasts, so that when we're through, you'll have a better understanding of that subject that you're interested in. So we would invite you to just type in THCOG. That will take you to the Holy Church of God right here in Tampa, Florida, where this broadcast originates. So, and if you would do something else, we would really, really appreciate it. If you would let us know if this broadcast is a blessing to you, if you would let the station know if this broadcast is a blessing to you, if you let the station know if WMAF is a blessing to you, I tell you, we just don't have anything like that here in Tampa. We have Christian radio stations. We have a Christian broadcast. We do not have classic gospel music. We don't have classic country music. We are at a loss when it comes to that in the Tampa area. So as big as this town is, we don't have what you have right there in Madison. You have a blessing in WMAF. Family friendly. You can turn it on, leave it on all day, and not have to hold your children's ears or turn the volume down. So we bless this station. We recommend it and the other ministries, the ministries right there in North Florida in Madison that broadcast, that bring the Word of God through the media of radio. What a blessing it is. Praise God. And we're laborers together with Him in this great last day harvest. So God bless you today. Amen. From our heart to your heart. So let us know if this is a blessing to you. Come to our website. Leave a little message. There'll be a place there you can do that. Just a little line. It would encourage us to keep exacting our energies and time in these areas of outreach. I believe it's doing something wonderful because I believe the Lord is in it. And someone said it so well one day. It's so biblically true to be able to say little as much when God is in it. Praise the Lord. So I believe we have a divine appointment right now. So let's go to the Word of God. We're talking about following the God of light in a sin-darkened world. Our scripture, our text for the context of this teaching is in 1 John, the Epistle of John, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. And this is what is written. This, then, is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. I want to read something to you that I believe is an important statement, and I believe it for every Christian that is listening today. We want you to stand with us in this understanding that we are living in the last of the last days. And there are some things that the Bible said would be happening in the world, and there's things that would be happening in the church of Jesus Christ, those who have come to know Christ as their Savior. The Bible said that in the last days perilous times would come concerning the world about us, the sin-darkened world about us. Perilous times would come because men shall be lovers of their own self. And out of that foundation, that root, that stem, an ugly tree grows. Because then each limb, truce breakers, fierce, traitors, haters of that is good, disobedient to parents, unholy, unthankful. The list goes on and on and on. But in the midst of all of this, we are called to follow God, even when the whole world is flowing in a contrary direction. So we as Christians are at a crisis point in our history just now. The last days, the Bible said, that day shall not come, speaking of the manifestation of the Antichrist and the tribulation that follows shortly, the great tribulation. That day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. Then that man of sin, the son of perdition, will be revealed. A lot of people have tried down through the years to figure out, to specify who the Antichrist is. We can figure out where in the world he will emerge pretty good biblically. There's some other things about him we can try to figure out a little bit, but the something precedes him being made manifest, him coming into power and influence that would mark the beginning of the tribulation period. You know what it is? That day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. It is the ancient Greek word that was used from the divorce or the breaking of a covenant once made. And we're seeing a in the name of tolerance, in the name of just trying to just get along with everybody, compromises that the Word of God just will not allow. You know why? Because the Bible said that God is light, and every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And in order to defeat the prince of darkness, we have to, as Christians, put on, the scriptures declare, the armor of light. Listen carefully. I believe that we're in a crisis point. I actually believe that Christianity is having an identity crisis. The Christian church is being shaken to its foundations by the rise of what we commonly call secularism. which is a vision of society that attempts to exclude God and all divine things from public life, and related to secularism by the systematic dismantling of a Christian cultural consciousness that has been the cohesive force in the Church of Jesus Christ for hundreds of years. And all of this has created an identity crisis for us Christians. This crisis, this rise of secularism and the casting aside of a Christian worldview, in other words, the emergence of a post-Christian society, has created for us an urgency. And I hope that you feel it today deep inside. I feel it is absolutely imperative that preachers of the gospel, myself first and foremost, that we stand true, that we earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Because the fundamental question of our faith is, who are we? What is our what designates us, and what makes us distinctively different from the world about us? Who are we as Christians? What does it really mean to be a Christian? And what does it mean to be called the Church of Jesus Christ? The New Testament refers to these things insofar as they stand against God as the world. And the world is engaged in a struggle to the death, in violent opposition to God and God's rule in the earth. Remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross, what the cry was? We will not have this man rule over us. That wasn't just the Jewish culture of the day. That is the world culture of our day as well. The fundamental reality about the people of God is that we have been called to join God on His side of the struggle. And you and I are called to walk in the light as He is in the light. I love the way David put it in the Old Testament in the book of Psalms. He said, "Thy word, O Lord, is a light unto my pathway. It is a lamp unto my feet." And today is a day of great compromise and great deception, and because of it, there is a falling away. Many people are not standing like they once stood. Whole denominations have decided not to stand true to the Word of God. We're taking a black and white, clearly delineated truth, and we're putting gray areas. We're inserting gray areas. See, this is the problem. The God we serve is a God of pure light, and His Word is as pure as He is. In fact, the Bible said, as high as His name is exalted in the Old Testament, He declared that He's exalted His Word above His name. Amen. You know what makes my name have any kind of influence? It's the integrity of my Word. If I'm a liar, if I don't keep my Word, then my name doesn't have influence. But if I'm a keeper of my promises, if I'm a teller of truth, praise God, then my name should be honored. Praise God. So God said, insofar as I want my name exalted, in order for that to occur, I put it higher than my very name, so that my name will be honored and exalted. Hallelujah. The church has to become apostate in order to join the world church and the world religion that is coming. In order to stand and walk in the light, we must share our faith with other people. We must stand up and declare where we stand, not to be combative, but just to identify with the light instead of the darkness. The Bible said in Philippians 2:14-16, it said to do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I've not run in vain or labored in vain. Paul is saying, I've espoused you to Christ. I've espoused you to one husband. I have brought you the gospel. And I want you to now begin to live out this new life in Jesus Christ so that his death is not in vain. My preaching is not in vain. I like this in the Amplified. It said, do all things without grumbling and fault finding and complaining against God and questioning and doubting among yourselves, that you may show yourselves to be blameless and guiltless, innocent and uncontaminated, children of God without blemish. This is not absolute sinless perfection. This is more about the heart than anything else. Faultless and unrebukable in the midst of a crooked and wicked generation, spiritually perverted and perverse, among whom you are seen as bright lights, stars or beacons shining out clearly in the dark world, holding out to it and offering to all men the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may have something of which exultantly to rejoice and glory in, that I did not run my race or spend my labor to no purpose. Praise God. Listen, friend, darkness is Satan's element, and we have to take our stand in sharp contrast to it. Ephesians 6, verse 12 said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. For we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere, as one translation reads. I've often stated that every time the Word of God is preached, spiritual warfare is waged. And I'm going to say that again. Every time the Word of God is declared, spiritual warfare is waged. It is occurring. Light and darkness clash. There's a very real battle raging for the souls of men and women. Someone said, if you don't believe in the devil, just try opposing him sometime. The world is under the influence of this fallen angel called Satan or the devil, according to 1 John 5 and verse 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Literally, in the Greek, it means in the power of the evil one. And how does he influence? The Bible said the God of this world has blinded the minds of men. And that word blinded means to puff up with pride. There's nothing that will keep you from seeing the glory of the gospel like the pride of life, like this self-indulgence, self-will, this stubbornness that said, I don't need or want God's rule in my life. I do not want to account to him. Friend, he's not just wanting you to account to him. He's wanting to save you. He's wanting to secure you. He's wanting to put you in a place of safety from the one who wants to destroy you. Oh, the thief came, Jesus taught, to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. This is a time of great opportunity and responsibility. We're called to be God's luminaries, to shine in a sin-darkened world. Praise God. Somebody said one time, we need to behave what we believe. I've often said that the world doesn't need another definition of Christianity. They need a demonstration. And someone said, I'm my neighbor's Bible. He reads me when we meet. Today, he reads me in my home. Tomorrow, in the street. He may be a relative or friend or slight acquaintance be. He may not even know my name, yet reading me is he. Amen. Scriptures bear this little poem out, this poignant poem, because it said that we are living epistles written and read of all men. That's why God has called us to follow God in this sin-darkened world. And if we decide that we're going to side with God and by following Him according to the Scripture, amen, then God is going to use you and God is going to use me. Number one, He's going to keep me from those gray areas that are being presented in so many circles. You know, I remember, I think it was in Alabama in a courtroom years ago, there was a granite rock inside that courtroom with the Ten Commandments inscribed. And it had sat there for years, and there was contention over the Ten Commandments, the separation of church and state and so on. And I remember when they finally had a judicial order to remove the Ten Commandments and that great stone out of that courtroom. And it was no easy task. You couldn't just pick it up and carry it out. They had to get some way to cart it out. And while they were making arrangements for a contractor to come and get the Ten Commandments and haul them out, I'm talking about thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. I don't believe those things were so questionable. I think what is questionable is that thou shalt have no other gods before me. You see, man doesn't want to account, doesn't want to be under fallen man. I know I didn't. My uncle was a pastor in for years, and when he came in the front door, even when I was a teenager, I ran out the back door. He never bugged me. He never cornered me. He never tried to be corrective to me in any way. But his very presence in our home convicted me. I was reminded through his presence, because he lived for Christ and he preached the gospel, that there is a God in heaven and there is a payday someday and there is a world beyond this world. And I wasn't right with God, and I wasn't ready to get right with God. But I'm going to tell you, a day came when I was so ready. When I saw what I was blind to, even raised in a Christian home, but at that time blind to, the glory of the gospel. Just what God wanted to do in my life wasn't to put me in a religious box where I could have no fulfillment in life, but to keep me from a roaring lion who wanted to hurt me and harm me. Praise God. Friend of mine, I want you to know, if you think Christianity is something that's going to take away the joy of living, you've been around some Christians that look like they've been baptized in pickle juice or vinegar, you need to understand what Jesus said is so very true. He said the thief came to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I've come to give you life, and I've come to give it to you more abundantly. Praise God. Hallelujah. So friend, I want you to know today that God loves you and He is ready to do something so wonderful in your life if you decide to let this God of grace, this God of love, let Him open your blind eyes. You know how you let Him do that? By beginning to open your heart to Him. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and him with me." And I believe that in this sin-darkened world, you know what God said about this sin-darkened world? He said, "Where sin doth abound, I don't back off. Where sin doth abound, I don't turn my nose up and walk away and say, just let it be destroyed." No, He said, "Where sin doth abound, my grace doth much more abound." In the Greek, it means superabound or hyperabound. It means that God is ready to let the light of His love and grace and His gospel shine into any heart that will just crack the door. He will not come barging in. But if you welcome Him, He will come in. He'll flood your soul with light. And it will drive out the darkness. Praise God. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, somewhere around the 30th, 32nd verse, it said, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. That means when the first thing that occurred in salvation was the opening of the blinded eye, so that spiritually we can see the glory of the gospel. We can see sin for what it is, Satan for who he is, and God for who he is, and Christ for who he is. And we embrace the gospel. We don't run from God anymore like I did out the back door. Hallelujah. Trying to get away from a reminder that there is a God in heaven that I need to get right with. To just get right with God is such a wonderful message. Repentance brings restoration. And I'll tell you, there's not a true Christian listening to this broadcast that don't wish you had come to Jesus sooner than you did. No one is saying, boy, I wish I could have stayed in the world and been steeped in sin longer. I wanted to have a little more fun, quote unquote. Honey, I've been on the other side. I know what people call fun. It destroys families. It destroys children. It destroys husbands and wives and marriages and bodies and lives. Ah, but Jesus said, I came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. Even before we draw our last breath and go into eternity, right here, right now, right where you are, Jesus stands at the door of the human heart and soul, and he knocks. And if anyone open the door, open your heart to the fact that we've sinned and we need a Savior, and we're sorry for our sin, and we're looking to Christ and looking to God through Jesus Christ to save us. Amen. He said, I will come in. I believe somewhere, someone, light is flooding your soul right now. And eternal life is standing at your door in the person of Jesus Christ, the door of your heart. And I believe right where you are standing that you can open that door. And if you do, Jesus said, I will come in. I will come in. He'll come where he's welcomed, where he's called upon. And today, you can welcome him into your heart. Would you do that right now if you don't know Jesus? Would you come out of the darkness, out of the prison that has held you in bondage to all kinds of habits and sins that you just can't break or shake? There's nothing God can't do when you invite him into your life. And let his kingdom come in you. Let Jesus become your Lord and your Savior. The devil loses all power and influence. You're translated out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Would you open your heart right now and say, Jesus Christ, I've sinned. I've tried to change, but I can't change myself. Repentance, someone said, is despair of self. But I want the change to come. First, I want to be forgiven. I want to be saved. And then I want you to begin to lead me as my Lord and my Master. I don't want to serve self or Satan any longer. Flood me with light and defeat the darkness about me. Christian, today is the day that you and I are called to take our stand. There is no gray area. They covered up the Ten Commandments with a tarpaulin until they could take it out. Today, we stand and hold forth the word of life. Hallelujah. Friend, these are the last of the last days. Jesus is coming very soon. Let's let the light shine within us and through us, and pray that many others will join us, so that heaven will be filled with people set free from Satan's prison. Well, our time is gone. Come back next week, will you? And let's talk. about Jesus.